Thanks for calling Toyota. This is Jan.
I just adopted a new best friend, and I'm looking for a Toyota so we can make the most out of summer.
With a new RAV4, you can take your pup for a drive up the coast. You can take a Prius to the park, or you can take a Tundra to kayak at a remote lake.
One problem, Jan.
Oh?
My new best friend's a cat.
Your summer starts here, but it all ends June 3rd. Toyota, let's go places. Dealer inventory may vary. See your participating Toyota dealer for details.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's up, friends? Before we hop into the show, I gotta tell you about our friends over at Green Mountain Dental. You know the deal. They're part of our family. We're part of their family. And if you want to be a part of the best damn family-owned dentist in the metro area, you gotta check out Green Mountain Dental. We've had several listeners switch over to Green Mountain Dental and give us fantastic reviews of their experience over there. And on top of that, not only do you get to talk Colorado sports with them, get a family type of dentistry, but if you schedule a cleaning, x-ray, and exam, you'll get a free Sonicare toothbrush. That's right. You'll get a free Sonicare toothbrush if you schedule a cleaning, x-ray, and exam with our friends over at Green Mountain Dental. So check them out. Supporting our partners is supporting us. They're only a 15-minute drive from downtown Denver, and make sure to schedule that cleaning, x-ray, and exam to get that free Sonicare toothbrush from our friends over at Green Mountain Dental. All right, Mace, let's hop into the show.
Number one for the one and only DNVR. Two goes out to Zach Mace, RK,
at the bar.
Three for Mr. B in that old trophy case. Number four we're still waiting for. Well, bring on the chase. Coupled with Breck, brew and a friend, bleed orange and blue to the bitter end. Come and join us, DDNVR. We are DNVR.
Welcome, welcome, welcome into the DNVR Broncos podcast on this wonderful Wednesday. I'm your host, Zach Steven, joined by my man, Andrew Mason. And before we hop into the show, I got to tell you about our presenting sponsor, MSU Denver Online, because now is the time to apply and register for classes for the spring semester over at MSU. And MSU Denver Online is offering free application fees to any and all students. That's $0 for your application fee right now. And it doesn't matter if you're looking to get your undergraduate, graduate, or take online classes. Use the code DNVR Sports to waive your application fee to go and get an education while continuing to live your life over at MSU Denver Online. My boy, Mace, what's going on, my friend?
I'm just kind of blown away today. It's going to be a 72-degree day here on December 1st in Denver, Colorado. I mean, it's absolutely nuts. I mean, we've gone from years where fall never came to this being the year that fall never ends.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Mace, I would typically, as a kid, always wear shorts in December, regardless of the weather, and I would get a lot of weird looks. Now there's no weird looks with me wearing shorts in December. I can do it and not be judged.
I mean, this is nuts. I'm like, okay, what's the other shoe that's going to drop? Are we going to be getting snow on Memorial Day? Something like
probably
that.
Probably something like that. Maybe, Mace, maybe the other shoe that's going to drop is the Denver Broncos upsetting the Kansas City Chiefs, because, boy, this is the latest 70-degree day in probably decades, and, man, it feels like we have not had a Broncos win over the Chiefs in decades. I know it's only been, what, 6 years? Yep, 6 years since that, but, boy, it feels like forever.
It does, and, in fact, it does feel like forever, even though you only have to go back to 2015. And in terms of December wins, which is, of course, a real big thing and is relevant for this game, the Broncos are 3-19 in Kansas City in December. The one time recently or the most recent time, I should say, that the Broncos beat the Chiefs was back in 2013. It was 8 years ago today. That was the No Sean Moreno Tears game. And I don't have it in front of me, but I believe the temperature that day in Kansas City, Zach, was in the 60s, and it was lovely. So and maybe
isn't
this
that,
is
isn't that what this, it's going to be this week?
It's not going to be quite that warm, but I think if, for a night game in Kansas City, we saw in, you know, in November of 2014 how it can be particularly brutal in terms of cold. Although the Broncos won that game that was on November 30th because they had Peyton Manning and C.J. Anderson that night. But this coming Sunday night, Zach, I'm looking at my little weather app here. Kickoff temperature in Kansas City forecast to be 51 degrees on Sunday night. I mean, you will take that and say thank you for a night game in December in KC. That's beautiful.
Yes, you absolutely will. And Mace, maybe that allows the Broncos offense to pick up some steam in Kansas City. And before we get to our whiteboard to break down just exactly what the Broncos need to do to beat the Kansas City Chiefs today, Mace, of course, this hump day got even better this morning with some big time news. Pat Surtain named AFC Defensive Player of the Week. Mace, forget Rookie of the Week for Pat Surtain. He's just straight up the AFC Defensive Player of the Week with his incredible two-pick performance, a pick six, and just stealing the headlines once again.
Yeah, I mean, no surprise. If he had not gotten AFC Defensive Player of the Week, I think you need to call for a revote on that. If you don't get that when you have two picks and one of them is a pick six and it clinches the game. And I know I've heard a few strange critiques about, oh, well, anyone could have gotten that pick. Well, you know, went right to him, blah, blah, blah. Hey, you know, every defensive back, when they make plays, sometimes it's being in the right place at the right time, but you've also got to judge the ball, make a quick reaction. And we've seen so many dropped interceptions from Broncos defenders over the years. And here's Pat Surtain coming. Pat Surtain and Justin Simmons are the guys that don't drop them, that do complete their plays on the ball. And that is a skill that counts for something. It's why Justin Simmons is a Pro Bowler and got a big contract. And it's why Patrick Surtain, maybe he's going to come next in terms of Pro Bowlers and getting a big contract.
Well, and Mace, you're referring to his second pick, which he took to the house that kind of fell in his lap. The first one, a lot of people wanted to say, oh, it was such a bad throw by Justin Herbert. Yes, that's correct. It was a bad throw, but he did the right thing the whole time by keeping his eyes on Justin Herbert, because if he's watching the receiver that whole time, that pass probably just falls incomplete because it was that bad of a pass. But he did a great job of putting himself in the position to make the play on a really bad throw, just keeping his eyes locked in on Justin. So yeah, I completely agree. There were some things that fell his way, but he was in the right place, and that's what happens. When a quarterback's rarely going to throw your way, you're going to have to get lucky. You're going to have to be in the right position, set yourself up in order to get those plays, because Mace, Patrick Mahomes may not be throwing at Pat Surtain's way many times. He may instead say, you know what, I'm going to take my chances with Ronald Darby. I'm going to take my chances with Kyle Fuller. I'm going to go in the middle. I'm going to stay away from them.
Well, we've already seen teams throw at Kyle Fuller. I mean, Justin Herbert threw at Fuller 9 times and completed 8 mm-hmm. passes. So I do think maybe that is coming in terms of how teams and how quarterbacks look at the Broncos and who they choose to go against. But the old cliche, luck is what happens when preparation meets opportunity. And Pat Surtain was prepared. He made a quick reaction on the first pick, made a great read on the ball when it came in short, and took advantage of the opportunity and really, and actually, I believe that that first interception in the end zone when Justin Herbert was short on ESPN, that meant, I believe, a 9.9% increase in the Broncos' chances of winning with that play alone.
How about that? And what Pat Surtain did was he took away a touchdown
right
when the Chargers were driving. And then, of course, he scored his own touchdown right there. That's all you need to know. That's a 14-point swing in the game. And it wasn't even close. I mean, the Broncos didn't even need that to win the game, but that just took it to where the Broncos blew the doors off of the Chargers. And Mace, let's jump into our whiteboard to see what the Broncos need to do to maybe not blow the doors off the Chiefs, but beat the Chiefs for the first time time in 11 games. And before we hop into the whiteboard, just want to kind of give a breakdown of the Kansas City Chiefs, because you're going to see a lot of numbers about the Chiefs, and there's some things that are going to be a little, some things that aren't going to be exactly true about what the Chiefs are. Right now, Mace, they're averaging 25.5 points per game. They're ninth in the league in scoring. So a good scoring offense, very good scoring offense, but they are not the powerhouse that they have been the past few years since Patrick Mahomes took over. On defense, they're the 13th best scoring defense in the NFL, giving up 22.7 points per game. And you'll say, okay, so they're an average defense. Well,
not exactly.
That number doesn't really tell the whole story. They were an awful defense the first six games of the season. Mace, they gave up 29 points, 36 points, 30 points, 30 points, 38 points through the first five games of the season. They were giving up over 32.5 points per game. Terrible. They were the worst defense in the league. Since, it's unfortunately been a much different story. Since week six, they're giving up 13 points, 27 points, 17 points, 7 points, 14 points, and 9 points. They're on a four-game win streak right now. Mace, on that four-game win streak, the Kansas City Chiefs are giving up an average of 11 points per game. That is very scary. So, and then on the flip side, though, you look at it, and in that four-game win streak, the Kansas City Chiefs offense, it's not like they started slow and took off. In fact, they've kind of actually taken a step back since when they started really hot. In their past four games, they've scored 20 points, 13 points, 41 points, and 19 points. So the Kansas City Chiefs offense, the explosive ability is absolutely still there. We saw just a couple of games ago when they went for 41, and no one's going to say that Patrick Mahomes is out and bad. In fact, he's started to improve his play, although the offensive numbers aren't necessarily there. But what we've seen, this Chiefs team right now is a team with a good offense, and it's a team with a fantastic defense.
And this defense, it's playing at an even higher level than it was a couple of years ago when they won Super Bowl 54. And the thing that made the difference for them, that transformed the team from just an aerial circus that could turn the scoreboard into an exploding scoreboard like the old Houston Astrodome back in the day. What turned it from just that to being a complete team was the defense really stepping up in the middle of that season. The Broncos were actually there at kind of the beginning of that in 2019 when the Chiefs held them to 6 points in that Thursday night game and pulled away despite losing Patrick Mahomes to injury and having to put Matt Moore in there midway through the game. And we're seeing shades of that again with their defense. The big difference, of course, is Chris Jones being able to do what he does best and work from the inside. Credit to the Chiefs for bringing in Melvin Ingram to bolster the edge. He's been transformative. And also, when you've got a defensive coordinator like Steve Spagnuolo, who's a good problem solver and can figure things out on the fly, well, he's doing it again here. I mean, this Chiefs team, don't get caught up in their record. Don't get caught up in their early losses. This is looking like a team that may well have that Super Bowl equation again, I hate to say.
Yeah, exactly. But the good news is their offense, I don't want to discount their offense too much because it's still potentially very lethal, but it is an offense that can be slowed down. So, Mace, without further ado, let's get into our whiteboard. And first one, Flag Day would be a good day. Mace, tell me what this is about.
Okay. I always like to see who the referee is in each game.
Okay.
This game is going to be officiated by a crew led by Carl Sheffers. First of all, Chiefs fans probably shudder a little bit at Carl Sheffers because he was the referee in Super Bowl 55 in Tampa last February. But Carl Sheffers, the significance of him is he is calling more penalties. His crew is calling more penalties than anybody else in the league right now. On a per game basis.
Not what we want to hear.
It's not what you want to hear in terms of game flow, and it's certainly not what you want to hear in terms of the Chiefs. Because if you look at the game, and I'm looking at total penalties, not just penalties against the Chiefs, but penalties against both teams. When there are 12 or fewer penalties called in a game and Patrick Mahomes starts, the Chiefs are 23-4. 13 to 16 penalties, 14-4. So the winning percentage drops. 17 or more penalties, the Chiefs are 13-7. Obviously, that's still a winning record. That's still playing 650 ball, but that's a lot better than your chances of of when they have 12 or fewer penalties and they're 23-4. And this is, again, not just penalties against the Chiefs, but penalties against both teams combined. And so it's one of those things where the penalties kind of slow the flow of the game down, and Kansas City doesn't want to see that. So Carl Sheffer's officiating this game is actually an advantage for Denver.
Man, Broncos fans will be pulling their hair out if there's tons of penalties in this game, and people will be freaking out. But like you said, Mace, maybe there's a silver lining, or should it maybe a yellow lining to all of the flags on the field?
Maybe it's yellow flags and they're trimmed in orange for this game. It's an orange lining on the yellow flags.
Yes, I would love that. Next one on this whiteboard. Ain't no lie, baby. Bye, bye, bye. And oh, of course, God. not just a great throwback to an NSYNC song, but what I'm talking about is the Kansas City Chiefs are really good coming off byes. And now Vic Fangio was asked about Andy Reid being so good coming off byes. He was asked about this on Monday, and Vic said, that's probably the case around the league. Probably everyone's better coming off byes. And Vic's probably true, right about that. But Mace, Andy Reid is historically good. And let's just look at what he's done with Patrick Mahomes. Since Mahomes has started, the Kansas City Chiefs and Andy Reid are 7-0 coming off byes in the regular season and postseason included, undefeated. That is more than just being really good. That is being undefeated. That is incredible. So I'm not just saying that to scare you. I'm saying that because I think that means the Chiefs are going to be ready to come out to play. They're not going to be slow, or they're not going to be off to a slow start. They're not going to be rusty. So you need to punch them in the mouth first. Now, we're going to get to running the ball and the importance of that, but I'd like to see the Broncos try to take a big shot early in the game to slow down that momentum. To instead of the Chiefs punching you first coming off their bye, you're the one punching the Chiefs. Like, the fast start by the Broncos, and of course everyone wants to see a fast start, but I think they get this fast start by trying one or two big time plays to start this game.
Yeah, I think they should, and the best way to do that is going to be using play action. So if the Chiefs come out and they stack the box, understandably so, given what we've seen from Melvin Gordon, Javonte Williams, that finally being the bread and butter. The Broncos have finally found offensive bread and butter, and it involves Javonte Williams and Melvin Gordon. If they stack the box to do that, that's where you've got to have it in mind in the script that Teddy can check the play action and tell him, take some shots over the top downfield. Take the shot to Cortland Sutton off play action if you've got a stack box and you can get him one-on-one. Take advantage of that. And look, even if it doesn't hit, don't worry. Trust your game plan. Trust what you are. It's a 60-minute game. You're going to have other chances, but I would love to see them to see them try that early. Kind of the thing with, you mentioned the Chiefs unbeaten after the bye with are they unbeaten after the bye with Reed or Mahomes at quarterback? What did you say?
Yep, in the Mahomes era. With Mahomes as his quarterback.
Yeah, because like one of the things that kind of led to this post bye legend was back in Philadelphia. The first two teams that he had that were sub 500 were 99 and 2006. So he's had bad teams. What did they do? They won after the bye. And in fact, if I'm not mistaken, it was the 06 Eagles when they were, or the 05, the 05 Eagles, pardon me, they went 6-10 after they went to the Super Bowl. And the team that they beat after the bye was a very good Charger team. So even bad Andy Reid teams play well after the bye. You've got to expect their best. It's part of it is he's just a really good game planner. And that's why he's in year 23 as a head coach. So that's why I would also expect the Eagles to have, or the Chiefs, pardon me, to have a game plan that really goes in line at attacking the Broncos' strengths. I think they will try to force Teddy Bridgewater to throw.
Yep, Yep, I absolutely think so too. And Mace, we saw a fantastic game plan from Vic Fangio this past week. He is going to have that good of a game plan this week to give the Broncos a chance. In order, when the Chiefs try to punch it first, the Broncos defense is going to have to punch back. And Mace, before we get further in this whiteboard, let's hit a super chat that just came in from Jelly. Says, realistic options for starter and backup quarterback in 2022 upcoming season. Hashtag DNVR squad. Thank you so much for rolling with us, Jelly. And what I'll say, Jelly, is we'll answer this right now, but if you want a really in-depth answer, why not check out yesterday's pod? You can find that anywhere that you find podcasts. Just look up Broncos. We'll be the first one that pops up there. And we really talked about this in the second segment. But essentially, I think a realistic option for the Broncos starting quarterback next year is Teddy Bridgewater, with the backup being a first-round pick.
Yeah, I'll even go specific. I would say Teddy Bridgewater, if I were betting on a single potential outcome at quarterback for the Broncos next year, I would say Teddy Bridgewater is the starter and Kenny Pickett, currently at Pitt, is the backup.
I love it. And you know, Teddy Bridgewater, when we say that, it probably gives a lot of Broncos fans chills down their spine. They're like, no! But then we say the first-round backup or Kenny Pickett, I think they say, oh, okay, I can get behind that plan.
Well, that's the, of course, and this is what they should have done years ago, right? I mean, yeah. You go back to 2018, people would have been fine with Case Keenum if you had handcuffed him with Josh Allen.
Yeah,
would have been
exactly.
Like, great. Yeah.
Big time. Man, that would have been a world of difference for sure. And Mace, the Chiefs certainly should not be sleeping on the Broncos, but something they should be sleeping on is the Snooze Sleep mattress, the Snooze Flip, over with our friends at Snooze Sleep. And what the Snooze Flip is, it's the most universal mattress on the planet. You can customize your sleep experience to fit your needs. What it is it's a 4-in-1 mattress. One side of the bed is firm, one side of the bed is soft. Then they have a cover, a reversible cover with one side that's cool and one side that's hot. So you can mix and match whether you want cool and soft, whether you want hard and hot. You can mix and match that with the Snooze Flip. And here's an awesome thing about our friends over at Snooze. They're a Colorado company, Colorado-based, and you guys know how important it is to support local. You can do that with our friends over at Snooze Mattress. So you can go to snoozesleep.com to get your straight door, and they're hooking DNVR listeners up. If you use the code DNVR over at Snooze Sleep, you will get $250 off a queen mattress and $250 off an adjustable base. That's a savings of $500. And if you get a king, they'll double it. You'll get $500 off that mattress and $500 off the adjustable base for savings up to $1,000. So check them out over at snoozesleep.com and use that code DNVR to get the comfiest and most versatile mattress out there.
Also, first of all, when you said all the stuff about the hot side, hot, cold side, cold, you're probably too young to remember this, but older listeners may remember a McDonald's burger that advertised itself being in two compartments, so the hot part stayed hot and the cold part stayed cold. So I'm thinking of like, as you're talking about the Snooze, I'm thinking about the McDLT, a short-lived commercial. You should, if you look up the McDLT ad on YouTube, you'll find George Costanza, Jason Alexander singing about the burger, but I digress. If you do get a Snooze mattress, you're going to get a good night's sleep. And if you work at Ball, you'll have a great job, but they'll keep you busy. So you're going to want that good night's sleep. Of course, people are what make Ball special. People at every level come in to work each day and give 100% to accomplish goals, including making over 101 billion aluminum cans like this one in my hand here. And production technicians play a big role in making those cans. In Golden, Ball is looking for production technicians. This position, it's on the front line of the aluminum beverage can production process at Ball's plants. You'll make $27.39 an hour to start, with potential for salary increases at 6, 12, and 18 months on the job. If you're a production tech, you'll get exposure to a lot of other manufacturing opportunities at the plant too, because it touches on the other stages of production, including making aluminum cans and ends. Production techs are responsible for machine adjustments on high-speed production equipment, and they're a huge part of production in both in quality and in meeting operational goals for volume. But if you're a production tech at Ball, like I mentioned, you're going to get the potential for wage increases pretty quickly after you're on the job, but you can move on to other roles in operations and in management. You'll get comprehensive insurance active on the day of hire, 401k for retirement, stock purchase ownership program, and even potential for an annual bonus. All these come with working for a great company like Ball. So if you want to get in and become a production technician, change your career a little bit, they're looking for a lot of people over at Ball in Golden. Go to jobs.ball.com and search for Golden, or text Golden to 77222. That's jobs.ball.com. Search for Golden, or text Golden to 77222 to apply for one of the production tech jobs over at Ball and be unstoppable at Ball.
And Mace, there's no better place to watch the game this week than over at the DNVR bar. We're going to have a huge, huge party watching the Broncos take on the Chiefs. So if you're in the Denver area, heck, if you want to come in to the Denver area for this game, come and stop by the bar. It's going to be packed because, of course, the Broncos can be in first place in the AFC. We're going to have all the Breck brews you could dream of. And, man, we're going to have a party. Stop in a little early. We're going to be doing the digital tailgate starting right around 5. So you can come in, watch that to get yourself ready for the game at 6:20. So make sure to check out the bar, not just during the game, but this entire week, where of course we have a great happy hour from 3 to 6 every single day. So if you're in town, stop by the bar this week and make sure to come to our huge watch party this week. All right, Mace, let's get back into the whiteboard. And next one is play KC keep away.
Yeah, these next two keys are going to be hand in hand. This is simply about shortening the game, having long drives, keeping Kansas City's offense off the field. And yes, we talked about how this is a team that's got a better defense than it has had in recent years. But there's a magic number involved. There's always a magic number involved. Opponents that hold the ball for 34 minutes against the Chiefs in a regulation game, 34 minutes when Patrick Mahomes starts. If you do that, guess what? You've got a 9-3 record against the Chiefs when Patrick Mahomes starts, if you hold the ball for at least 34 minutes. That is a key number. The Broncos, that plays right into the type of game they want to play anyway. Yes, you want to have the deep shots, but if you have those deep shots early, you know what's going to happen is Kansas City is going to take somebody out of the box. And then you're going to be able to do what you want to do, which is give a heavy dose of Javonte Williams and Melvin Gordon on the ground and to keep that clock tick, 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 ticking down and limit the opportunities for Mahomes to do his magic on offense.
Yeah, exactly. And Mace, this is the formula we saw the Broncos take when they beat the Cowboys. I mean, Dak Prescott, he had so few opportunities when he was on the field because the Broncos dominated time of possession that he felt like he had to put the team on his back, and man, was he off. The Broncos are going to need that exact same formula on the offensive side of the ball in order to just really not let Patrick Mahomes get into a groove, and the defense is going to have to do a good job, of course, limiting him as well. But if the offense is able to keep him on the side, that's going to be huge. And so Ryan, though, he says wait about this time of possession running the ball thing. The next key of the game is vertical stripes, and this is one sent in from Ryan. And what he says is Broncos are going to have to go deep to Tim Patrick and Cortland Sutton, but we can connect these all. It doesn't have to be a one or the other thing, Mace. I would really push back on having the Broncos drop back 50 times, 40 times throwing the ball. But there is something to having the Chiefs have to play this deep ball. And look, the Broncos have not thrown it up deep to Cortland Sutton or Tim Patrick recently at all. And we need to see that this week. You want Jerry Jeudy involved in the game. But an important thing, the Chiefs know the Broncos want to run the ball. And we're going to get to that in just a second. So they're going to load the box and say, we'll make Teddy Bridgewater beat us. And so Teddy Bridgewater, even if he's not, you know, completing every play, you have to show that there's at least a threat of throwing the ball downfield. Because if not, then good luck to your run game. The good news is, Mace, the Chiefs defense statistically allows deep passes. They allow the ball to be completed down the field. Now, in the past couple of games, their pass defense has been spot on, only giving up 228 yards 4 games ago, 179, 249, and 194 and through the air the past couple of games. So it's not going to be easy passing against this Chiefs defense, but it doesn't matter. Even if you're not connecting, you have to show that there's a threat there to keep them honest.
Yeah, and that's where I think it comes down to specifically play action. We're not saying that they need to pass 40 or 50 times, but you do need to have that threat. And that's where, again, if they're playing the run, give Teddy the ability to, and encourage him, not just give him the freedom to, but encourage him to take advantage of 8 in the box, audible into play action, and take those shots downfield. I mean, look, maybe you don't complete, maybe you draw a PI. That's as good as yep. a catch.
Courtland Sutton did earlier or in this game this past week.
Right. Just take the shot. And if you get the Chiefs thinking, if you can make sure you get that safety back rather than having that extra guy in the box and having a stacked box with 8 players, you do that, you're going to open things up, and then you can really play the game that you want to play. If they stack the box and they're coming up and they're closing everything and there's no room to run, it's going to get away from the Broncos pretty fast. You've got to do something at least get the Chiefs to play honest.
Exactly. And Mace, that's why probably the key of the game is this next one. And it was both of ours. Run the damn ball. That is going to be so important for the Broncos because, I mean, we've already talked about it. Controlling the ball, not letting Patrick Mahomes get into a rhythm. And the Broncos, that's their formula. I mean, we even had Quinn Bailey talking about how that's their formula this week. Mace, Pat Shurmur needs to stick with the running game, and there is a chance that the Broncos get down 7-0 to start the game, and it happens in 52 seconds because the Chiefs hit a 70-yard play. Pat, don't freak out. Stick with the running game until you're down multiple scores with 4 minutes left in the game. You got to stick with the running game. Feed Javonte. Feed Melvin. That's a great 1-2 pairing. It's what your banged up offensive line wants to do. You may get some help on the offensive line. Bobby Massey probably is going to be back this week. Garrett Bowles maybe, but you're still going to have new guys on the interior of the offensive line. Allow them to just eat on the ground. We know what the winning formula is. Go for 200 yards on the ground. And it may be a little easier said than done, though, against this Chiefs team, because the Chiefs in the past 4 games have given up 72 yards on the ground, 122, but then 52 games ago and 82 last week. So that's in last week, or the not last week, the last time they played before the bye was against the Cowboys, a very good rushing team as well. So the Broncos are going to have to stick with the run and take those shots, but downfield. But Mace, the taking the shots downfield can't be the game plan. It's got to be running the ball.
Right. It's got to be running the ball, and it's got to be patient. And yeah, I know coaches don't like to think in terms of you have to run a specific amount of times. And yes, the amount of times you run is a function of how the game is flowing for you. So you want to keep this thing largely in control. But Zach, in Patrick Mahomes' starts, when opponents run the ball at least 35 times, they are 9-4 against these Kansas City Chiefs.
Boom. There you go.
That's the number. I told you yesterday I was going to have a number for you. That's the number. 35 carries.
Yep. 35, and Mace, we know the Broncos this year, that fits into their formula. In their 6 wins, they've ran the ball over 31 times per game. In their 5 losses, they've ran the ball only 18 times per game. Now, obviously, it's not 100% causation, but there's certainly a correlation there. Don't abandon the run. Mace, running 18 times per game is 4 per quarter. That's nothing. That is no commitment there. Instead, be close to 10 rushing attempts per quarter, and the Broncos will have a darn good chance here.
What if I told you, Zach, that when opponents against the Chiefs and Mahomes' starts, when they run 25 or fewer times, they're 3-36?
Yikes.
Yes. 3-36 if you don't get to at least 26 carries. So you got, so you need, you get it to about, if you get it to about 26 to 34 carries, you've given yourself a puncher's chance here.
Yep. And that's it's just, it truly is as simple as that. So Pat, keep running the ball. And Mace, final whiteboard here coming in from Ryan again. This one is just the tip. And boy, it seems quite spicy off the top. But we're talking about Shelby Harris, Draymond Jones, Mike Purcell, McTelvin getting their hands up at the line of scrimmage. Because, Mace, we know how hard it is to take down Patrick Mahomes. We all remember Von Miller chasing Mahomes and somehow Mahomes getting away. And then Mahomes throwing a left-handed pass in Denver to beat the Broncos a couple of years ago. It is very hard to take down Patrick Mahomes. So if you're not able to take him down, you know what the next best thing is? It's tipping the ball at the line of scrimmage. Bill Kolar, a lot of the time, says that tip balls are just as good as sacks, and so the Broncos are going to have to really capitalize on that. Last year, we saw Shelby Harris run 70 yards downfield in order to tackle Tyreek Hill. This year, we need him to jump about 70 inches every single time Patrick Mahomes throws a pass in order to tip it at the line of scrimmage.
Exactly, And look, I mean, the more you do get to Patrick Mahomes, the better your chances of winning. Teams that have sacked Patrick Mahomes three times in a game, in the games that he started, Zach, they are, let's see, they have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They have 6 wins and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They have six wins and 10 losses. That's not great. That's better than the percentage otherwise. So it does help you to try to get to him. But again, we're literally only talking about 16 of Patrick Mahomes' 65 starts, including playoffs, that the Chiefs have allowed 3 or more sacks. That's not even 25% of Patrick Mahomes' starts. You can't rely on that. So how do you cause disruption? Like you said, you get Shelby Harris and the guys up front to get their arms up and get their hands on the ball.
Yeah, exactly. And then that's going to allow some lucky opportunities for maybe Pat Surtain, for maybe Kenny Young, heck, for maybe Deshaun Williams. He had a pick last year off a tip. That's what the Broncos are going to need, because not only does it guarantee an incomplete pass pretty much, but it allows the ball to be up in the air and allows guys to be in the right position to get interceptions. And Mace, the Broncos are simply going to have to get an interception or a turnover or two in order to keep up with these Chiefs with the way their defense is playing. Short fields are going to be key for the Broncos offense. And so getting your hands up, making the ball go other ways than it should, is going to be huge for this game. So those are the keys. Those are the whiteboard Wednesday keys for the Broncos to win. In the comment section right now, if you guys are watching live, first off, hit us with a thumbs up. Jump over to YouTube where you can really participate in the comment section. And once you're there, let us know which one you think is the biggest key of the game, or let us know if we missed a big key of the game, and we would really love to hear from you guys. And Mace, we have another super chat from Jelly. Again, we really appreciate it. He says, I'm back. Love you guys. Realistic options for head coach and offensive coordinator and defensive coordinator. Hashtag DNVR. Don't miss. Well, Jelly, I mean, you got to check out our pod from yesterday. We talked about this as well, but we'll hit you with it again. And I mean, you keep looking at other options, Jelly. Not Teddy Bridgewater, not Vic Fangio, but I believe if the Broncos beat the Chiefs, Vic Fangio is your most realistic option to be the head coach next year.
Yeah, he is. I will maintain what I believe, and just based on what I've heard, that this does not make it. This does not make him safe if they win, and there's more. There's going to be more left to be done. If they win this and they fade down the stretch, this is going to be a nice memory, but it's going to be overshadowed by an opportunity let down. So I guess I'm trying not to be kind of locked in the moment here. I'm trying to have a big picture realistic options for head coach. I mean, I know we say the name Dan Quinn a lot, but there's a history with him and George Payton, and George has kind of shown that he likes people he knows to some degree. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, for example, you look at Stephen Weatherly, had trade for him, had him in Minnesota. Kenny Young, fellow UCLA alum, like George Payton, did some scouting work on him. Teddy Bridgewater was part of drafting him in 2014. So I think, if you're looking for potential coaching candidates. That's why names like Dan Quinn and Daryl Bevel, the offensive coordinator and former interim head coach of Jacksonville, former interim head coach in Detroit last year, these names come up because George Payton knows them and has worked with them. Leslie Frazier in Buffalo is another defensive coordinator who was the head coach in Minnesota, is another name who's who would probably pop up if the Broncos move on.
Yeah, and Mace, people are saying, we want young, we want offensive guys. Well, you just look at who the Vikings had. Mike Zimmer, not young, and also not an offensive guy, a defensive guy. So again, that's why Vic Fangio, and if you want our full conversation and debate why Mace doesn't think that Vic Fangio is safe after this game and why I do, I recommend you check out yesterday's pod. I think it was a great conversation. We actually, our pod poll, Mace, yesterday was about it, and it showed that we had a good conversation because it showed that Broncos country is split evenly. We put out the poll, if the Broncos beat the Chiefs on Sunday, do you think Vic Fangio will be Denver's head coach in 2022? We had almost 2,000 votes in it. 45% said yes, 45% said not necessarily, and 10% said no. So, I mean, it was just split right down the middle. So I'm happy that we were able to represent both sides of Broncos country.
So realistically, that means 55% don't think he's safe even with a win.
Well, I mean, the people that say no, that, I mean, Mace, you didn't say no.
I mean, I'm in the not necessarily camp. That's the thing.
Right. The people that said no will never be behind Vic Fangio. And we know that that's not the case with George Payton, Mace. And never in our conversation yesterday did you say there's no chance that Vic Fangio's back.
Yeah, it's just they need more data. This is really unless there's a weird, funky tiebreaker, this is almost certainly going to be about making the playoffs. And so that, again, and the other thing is I've seen enough late fades that knock Bronco teams out of the playoffs to know that as good as beating the Chiefs would feel right now, if they lost it by losing division games down the stretch, Broncos country would be hurting, and that would really cast a pall over everything down at UC Health Training Center.
Mace, you're trying to lure me into a conversation and debate that we had yesterday. I recommend that you check out yesterday's pod, definitely, because we have great conversations.
Yeah, I remember seasons like 08 and how.
No, Mace, you keep going down.
I'm just saying why.
Got to move on now because I got to tell you about the best cell phone experience out there, and it's our friends over at Mint Mobile. And what they're doing is they're offering monthly plans with unlimited talk, unlimited text, and your data plan starting at just $15 a month. And you're saying, whoa, what's the catch here? There is no catch. The only catch is you can't go into a store to buy this. What you do is you go to mintmobile.com/DNVR in order to sign up for this. And what they do is they send you a SIM card. Comes in a really cool package. They send you a SIM card. You take that SIM card, put it in your existing phone. So one, you get to keep your own phone. Two, you get to keep your phone number. Then you download an app and it sets you up just like that. It's that easy. You don't want to go into a store anyways. You want it sent straight to your house, and that's what they do over at Mint Mobile. And they are offering, if that wasn't good enough for you, they're offering an incredible deal. If you buy the first 3 months now, then they'll give you the next 3 months for free. So not only are you slashing your cell phone service by over half, but then you're getting 50% off of that. Guys, I signed up for Mint Mobile using that code DNVR, going to mintmobile.com/DNVR, and it really is as simple as that. They sent me a SIM card, I put it in my phone, downloaded the app, and boom, I'm off and running with the exact same cell phone service that I had before, just like the big boxes have. It's just at a fraction of the cost, so you should get in on it. Go to mintmobile.com/DNVR to get their buy three, get 3 months free, and save tons of money.
And if you save tons of money, you'll have more to spend on Christmas gifts and maybe a great Christmas gift to give the guy in your life or just someone who's a friend, whoever is a stocking stuffer from Manscaped. It's holiday season, and Manscaped has the tools to guarantee you'll win this year's stocking stuffer or white elephant competition. Manscaped is the leader in men's below-the-waist grooming and has served more than 4 million men worldwide. And you know, just get out the abacus here, and that's going to be approximately 8 million balls. And if you want a discount on taking care of said balls, get 20% off with free shipping by using the code DNVR at manscaped.com. Ho, ho, ho. Naughty or nice, this is the season to perform in Manscaped's best-selling product. If you want a stocking stuffer, is that Performance Package 4.0, which includes the lawnmower trimmer, which is the best trimmer on the market for your balls, butt, and body. Also, the Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer to get those annoying hairs that end up growing as you get older out of the ear and nose. And don't forget about their famous liquid formulations, the Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant and Crop Reviver Ball Toner. They will maximize your ball hygiene regime. And also, maybe you just want to get some, you know, something a little bit lighter, not the whole performance package. Well, check out their 2-in-1 shampoo and conditioner just launched. I'm using it at home. Keeps me clean. Makes you smell nice. You can also get that Manscaped cologne infused body wash, the luxury nail kit. You want to keep those nails trimmed, don't you? You don't want to have some talons there. Well, then you get the Shears 2.0 luxury 4-piece nail kit. And then if you want to just kind of give a quick cleaning to your balls, check out their Crop Mops ball wipes for your stinky balls. These formulations are all vegan, cruelty-free, dye-free, sulfate-free, and paraben-free, so you know their products are legit and safe. So make sure you hurry up to manscaped.com to get these wild gifts to show up before the holiday season. We know about delivery issues, so you want to get in and order right now and get 20% off plus free shipping with the code DNVR over at manscaped.com.
And of course, you also have to check out our friends over at Strava Craft Coffee, where they've got a couple of 1-2 punches for you. The first 1-2 punch is not only delicious coffee, but they give you that CBD punch. And CBD can, of course, help relieve aches, pains, headaches, migraines, anything that's going on, the CBD can help relieve. So you get up with the coffee, and then you get to stay cool with the CBD. A lot of people say CBD also helps relieve the coffee jitters. So you can drink as much coffee as you want without getting shaky. And the other two for one punch that they've got going on over at Strava Craft Coffee is if you use the code DNVR25, you'll get 25% off your first purchase of coffee over at Strava Craft Coffee. And then after that, once you fall in love, you'll save 20% on every single order if you just subscribe to their website. And you can even have it where it's set to deliver every 2, 4, 6, 8 weeks, or however often you want. That delicious Strava Craft Coffee will show up to your door. So make sure to check them out over at StravaCoffee.com in order to get in on these great deals and get some delicious tasting coffee. All right, Mace, let's hit one super chat really quick, then jump into the comment section. First one coming in from Jake Girard. He says, I'm okay with Vic staying, just not the offensive coordinator. And yeah, I mean, we got to see how these last six games go. If the offense, Mace, the offense, people don't want to look at it, but the offense kind of trending in the right direction. Now, trending, and it's just the beginning of a trend, but they put up 30 points against the Cowboys. Now, I know the defense scored one in this past game, but the team put up 28 points. Maybe the offense keeps their foot on the gas. If it wasn't for Pat Surtain's pick six, maybe they get up to 28. But we'll just have to see if this offense struggles down the stretch, but the Broncos still are winning. Maybe Vic does make a move at offensive coordinator if he stays the head coach. But if this offense picks up, it's going to be Pat Shurmur again if they make the playoffs.
Yeah, and I mean, just take the Surtain pick six out. Offense is accounting for a little over 21 points a game. I know that's not great. That's better than they had been doing before. And if you continue to limit turnovers, you're playing the kind and have some long drives, you're playing the kind of football that this team is designed to play. And we've discussed over the season how on a per possession basis, they're up in yards, they're up in time of possession, they're up in points per in points per possession. So by some of that points per game, it's a function of the type of football they're playing, the type of pace that they're going at. If they do what they've done the last three games, especially in terms of not turning the ball over, then I think you'll see Pat Shurmur back for 2022.
Yeah, and man, people hate hearing that right now. But if these guys are back, it means the Broncos end the season pretty darn strong. So that's, I think, something that Broncos fans can cheer for.
And,
right,
and Mace, the other thing is, the other thing is, real quick, people were yelling about continuity in past years, right?
Right, exactly.
There's your continuity.
Yep, it certainly would be. Mace, let's hop into the comment section. And of course, if you go to thednvr.com, if you're a member of our family, go to the podcast tab at the top, click on Broncos Podcast, click on the first podcast that pops up and scroll to the bottom. And if you're a member, a comment section will magically appear where you can leave your comments to be read on the next day's pod. And Mace, let's jump into those comments where people have done that. And let's get to as many as we can in a little speed round. First one coming in from Bronc Euler says, "Hey guys, I just want to take a moment for a quick victory lap. As before the season started, I mentioned that Teddy could be the late San Francisco KC Alex Smith for us, and the idea was balked at, but his production is on pace to be right on par with that. We've fallen in love with the idea of the big arm playmaker that'll lead us to the playoffs for the next 15 years, but I'm tired of hanging on to this delusional sense of hope any young quarterback can throw a 70-yard to interception on a frozen rope. Not going to name names here. Obviously, Teddy doesn't have the physical skill set that gets you excited, but as far as guys who aren't franchise quarterbacks are concerned, are there really any others better than Teddy? That garbage time MVP Kirk Cousins, his game isn't sexy." And he goes on and says, "I don't think we need to be so desperate as to spend early round picks on prospects like Locke, Osweiler, Lynch, Carson Strong, Kenny Pickett, etc. anymore. I really hope they don't waste valuable draft capital on a quarterback they don't love this offseason." Well, Bronc Euler, I mean, you're spot on. And Teddy Bridgewater is having a career year right now. 3-1 touchdown to interception ratio. You truly couldn't have asked for more.
You couldn't have asked for more. At the same time, though, it's if you stack it up with his numbers in New Orleans and Carolina, especially before the knee injury in Carolina, this is probably who he is and who you're going to get if you continue to have him. And that's, okay, is it great? Is it elite? No. Is it fine? Is it average? I mean, we talk about average Teddy, right? It's average, and average is an improvement. So I think, especially again, I don't agree with you by Bronc Euler's in terms of saying you don't want to go for a quarterback in the coming off season. This quarterback class and most quarterbacks, unless you're talking about a generational guy, you're not going to love every aspect of that quarterback. You're going to have some things to fix. So that it's just which flaws can you live with and you can work around. So I still want to see a young quarterback, but if it's Teddy in a first round pick, I'm perfectly fine with that.
EJ in our comment section says, "We want good continuity, not bad continuity. Keeping Shermer and McMahon would just be keeping bad continuity and accepting mediocrity." See, I think the Broncos are in a great position right now, Mace, where if they win and make the playoffs or have a winning record, it means things clicked and came together for the team. So it's easier to stick with your guys because things were working. Things were good. You have hope for the future. Everything was going in the right direction. If things don't work and the Broncos don't have a winning record, they don't make the playoffs and things fall apart, well, then it's easy to say, yeah, let's move on. So that's all I'm saying. I'm not saying you keep Vic Fangio, you keep Teddy Bridgewater, you keep Pat Shermer, you keep Tom McMahon right now, but you'll know. If the Broncos make the playoffs, these guys are back because things went well and people will be able to get behind that. If not, then you move on from all of these guys and you start over.
Yeah, and it might be moving on, either keeping them all together or moving on together. I mean, look, hey, let Tom McMahon take a victory lap for this week. His special teams were great this past game.
Yeah, we'll see how they do against a great Kansas City special teams.
Yeah, it's true. Lionel Hutz, turning it log. Gentlemen, three quick notes. One, has someone been putting cayenne pepper in Zach's coffee because he's been getting heated on the pod?
Ooh, Zach, spicy.
you have been spicy. Spicy little number. Number two, watching the YouTube stream yesterday, it looks like RK stepped in a big pile of Tyreek Hill. Don't get that mess in the studio. Number three, my wife just gave birth to our second son. These pods have been a godsend to help keep me sane in the nights. Keep up the good work. Like others have said, I'm a DNVR fan as much as a Broncos fan now.
Man, that is way too cool, Lionel Hutz, attorney a lot. And congratulations to having another kid. And man, we're so happy to be rolling with you. Thanks for letting us be part of your family and in your household. Next one from Rick DV12. How could you re-sign Vic after a win over the Chiefs when you have an embarrassing loss to the Raiders at Mile High and an embarrassing loss to the Eagles at Mile High in the same season? It just shouldn't happen. Well, Mace, I mean, you're looking at 15-19. You can probably find embarrassing losses for what 95% of the teams in the NFL. I mean, you can't just say you're not going to stick with the coach because of an embarrassing loss and disregard the rest of what he's done.
I mean, the 2015 Broncos won a Super Bowl, and they had a blowout loss to the Chiefs at home, and an embarrassing fall from ahead loss to the Raiders at home. I mean, sometimes these things happen. That's why, good or bad, you can't get caught up in individual results. You have to kind of step back and view the big picture, which is part of why I'm like, I'm very much in the not necessarily camp on Vic being safe if they win. I think euphoria fades. I think you get a little bit of a clear mind, clearer head when you're able to look at the bigger picture of a season.
See, Mace, you're trying to just continue to bring this conversation in, but I have to defend myself here really quick, because I'm not just looking at a win over the Chiefs. I'm looking at a Broncos team that would be what? 3-1 in their past four, 4-1 in their past five. If they're able to beat the Chiefs, that they would have beat the Cowboys in Dallas. They would have beat the Chiefs in Kansas City, got a huge monkey off their back. And on top of that, they're 7-5. They're first place in the AFC West. So yes, I agree. You can't just look at one game and decide everything off that. But if you take a step back, everything's going in the right direction if they're able to beat the Chiefs as well.
Well, as EdVed796 said, let the man talk, hashtag Free Mace.
The Danimal says, wait a second, sacks, tackles for a loss, interceptions, a pick six? Has anyone looked at the possibility of there being a theory that playing with the lead helps the defense? Maybe we could call it the formula. For the love of God, someone get Vance on the phone and tell him it works. Or on second thought, let's not interrupt him, as he's probably in the middle of a great week of practice. All I'm saying is, let's keep this unfamiliar winning thing going, but also pray that Shermer chooses to pursue his lifelong pro bowling dream this summer, and we hire the next young badass offensive coordinator who knocks it out of the park for 22 and steps up when the head coach, when Vic hangs it up and decides to direct Hallmark movies in the off season. What do you guys think? Is that too much to ask?
Also says The Rock buys the team.
Hey, I would love that. I think everyone likes The Rock.
Isn't he working on a football league right now, or is that falling apart?
I think he may be, but still, let's just bring him into the NFL and get him to buy the Broncos.
Hey, and then he goes to the he goes up to the podium and people are happy, and all he can say is, what can I say except you're welcome?
That one went over my head, Mace.
You haven't seen, if you have kids, you got it. I'm sorry, because it's from Moana. He plays Maui in the Disney animated movie Moana, and that's his song. It was beautiful.
Mace. I just didn't get it.
Oh, thank you. Beautiful. I like that. But, oh, man. I would actually like to see Vic. If Vic was given free reign on a Hallmark Christmas movie, what he'd come up with. Maybe he'd want to explore my lights on the route tree treatment that I have.
And Kale, our super producer Kale in the background's mad at me for not seeing Moana either, so maybe it's on me, Mace.
A lot of the Disney movies are basically musicals, and Kale is a musical theater expert.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yes. So you're right. It makes sense. And Kayla, I apologize for not seeing it. Next one coming in from Ivory Hotlines. Good morning. As Sunday approaches, I am making sure I am stocked on the essentials. I will begin my mornings with StravaCraft coffee, setting up my parlay through DraftKings Sportsbook, and a shower in which I will make sure I am freshly manscaped. Later in the afternoon, I will fill up on Hassle Cattle Company burgers and Breck brews. But don't worry, I can afford this because I financed through Chevalier. All thanks to MSU Denver for providing me the proper education, allowing me to pursue my career at Ball Aluminum Company. This is where I am a full-time tech working alongside my beloved coworker, Aunt Julie. I have to say that the best investment I have made in 2021 is subscribing to DNVR and becoming a member. That's compared to the 20% off I made at my Roth IRA this year that has allowed me to comment and drink member-sized beers. All right, I think I hit them all. Zach, Mace, RK, you guys made my day. I think the Broncos are going to win in a good game, 27-19, Denver. Ooh. Let's see how this prediction pans out. Blue and orange all the way from the Bay. Love your California fan. Man, Ivory Hotline, what a comment. We love you right back. That was fantastic.
That was fantastic. Thanks. And I think you got almost everybody in there, and the sponsors nicely done. Yeah. LDJ, so I'm 1,000% Team Mace, although I empathize with you, Zach and Ryan. Dude, Mace is right. The mandate is playoffs or you're fired. Why? Because in my opinion, Peyton gave them everything they asked for. They got the DBs they wanted. They got the depth they wanted. They got the veteran quarterback they wanted. Josie Jewell and AJ Johnson get hurt. He went and got Kenny Young. He did his part. They must do theirs. Fangio said this is the best roster they've had since they've been here. It's his job to get them to the playoffs. There were gimme games that Fangio blew, so whenever KC isn't enough, playoffs is a mandate. Super important question, though. You think Baron Browning is ready to cover Kelsey? We put Surtain on Tyreek. Browning's off-ball skills have exceeded expectations thus far. I don't know.
No, LDJ, you do not put Baron Browning on Tyreek Hill. We have seen Baron Browning still struggle in certain aspects of coverage. He did have a great pass breakup this past week, but you're going to have to put multiple guys on Travis Kelce. And the thing with Travis Kelce is you can't put a linebacker on him. So I advocate for a safety. If you want to do a corner, if you want to do Pat Surtain, I'm all up for that too, but not a linebacker. And LDJ, I totally get why you think playoffs or bust, but let me remind you, 9-8 would be 4 more wins than last year. Talk about improvement. What that would be, big time improvement.
It would.
Next one coming in from the computer Bronco says, hey fellas, good everything to the women. Please talk about the end of the first half game management by Vic. We get the ball with 30 seconds, then run, timeout, run, spike, short pass to Judy, end of half. I was watching with my dad and I was losing my mind. Were we going for the field goal or not? For me, it calls back to Vic getting all pissed at Harbaugh for running a play at the end of the Ravens game for no reason. Player safety, yada, yada, yada. If you aren't going for the field goal, save the players and just kneel. If you are, pass the ball, for God's sake. Thank you. Yeah, that was a head-scratching moment, and after the game, or I believe it was on Monday, Vic just said that he thought the plays were going to have different outcomes, and he wanted to save a timeout for later. So it didn't make sense in the moment, and who knows if the plays go different, if it looks a lot better. But yeah, it wasn't a good look.
It wasn't a good look, and especially it was clear that they didn't have confidence in Drew Lock, right? I mean, so
yeah,
that's where I think it should have been quickly running it out, getting to the half, and moving on.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. Mace, let's hit a couple more really quick from Dan Burke. He says, guys, just wanted to hear y'all's thoughts about a couple of things now that some time has passed. One, the win against Washington. Back then, all we thought it was an extremely sloppy win against a team that was going nowhere. But the football team has rolled off 3 consecutive wins and is currently 7th seed in the NFC. Is this win a bit more impressive in hindsight? I think you're
definitely
right. I think it's a great point, Dan Burke. And he says, two, the Von Miller trade. Rams are 0-3 since the trade was made. Broncos are 2-1. It's getting close to the point where the Rams' second-round pick will be earlier than the Broncos' one. Holy smokes, that is wild, Dan. Two great points.
Yeah, Von Miller's personal 6-game losing streak in games that he's played in is going to end on Sunday when the Rams go against the Jaguars.
Yeah, you're probably right. Yeah. If not, it is not just time to panic in L.A. Whatever is worse than panic is time to do there.
Well, I mean, they're probably panicking looking at some of the throws that are coming off of Matthew Stafford's hand. I mean,
yeah, and the reports that he's literally a broken human being.
Yeah, that's like in every way, like needs a body cast. Oh, this is
rough. It is rough. Denver Wolf says, hey boys, do you believe Surtain has done enough to be in serious contender for the Pro Bowl? Aside from JC Jackson, there has not been a whole lot of great corner play in the AFC. Thoughts? Absolutely. Pat Surtain should be in the conversation for Rookie of the Year. He should be in the conversation for the Pro Bowl without a doubt.
Yeah, I mean, I think Parsons is going to be the Defensive Rookie of the Year because there are going to be more numbers. The thing, if for Surtain to really be pushing for these honors, a big game in the spotlight on Sunday night would go a long way toward his cause.
Man, you pick off Patrick Mahomes. Yeah, the same game you just had, you have that this coming week. Yep, then he will legitimately be in that running for Rookie of the Year. But I agree, there's no doubt Mike Parsons is a front runner.
Yep.
And Mace, last one here coming in from Kamish Gordon 710. Just bought tickets for a quick trip home for the Chiefs game in January. Hopefully that's a relevant one as well. I'll try to make it to the tailgate either way. Man, we'd love to see you, Kamish Gordon. He says, on the subject of job security, I'd be fine giving Vic another chance if we remain competitive this season. But let's assume that happens. I'm wondering what Shermer's job security looks like. I would hope that even Vic can see that his guy has not accomplished what he brought him in for. Do you think Peyton would make a new offense offense for a condition for Vic coming back. That way he would at least give him some of his guys on the staff if things go south next year.
Oh, good question. Good question. Good question.
I think it depends on what happens the backstretch of this year. And does the offense pick up? If so, then they're going to go with continuity. They're going to give this whole staff one more year. If it doesn't pick up, but the defense looks good and the Broncos are winning on the back of the defense, then, yeah, maybe you do see a change because Pat Shurmur would be have given 2 years at this job.
The thing is, though, it's if you kind of dive into, like, the data of, like, the Football Outsiders has with their DVOA, in turn, you know, they've actually got the Broncos offense operating at better numbers over value than the defense has. And the defense has been maddeningly inconsistent. So that would require the defense showing a consistency that we haven't seen over the course of the year. And the offense probably taking a little bit of a step back. And if it takes a step back, but the defense plays well, then yeah, I could see that change happening. But if the overall trends of the season continue, I don't think it would be like that.
Yeah, Mace, I don't think the Broncos are going to be winning the next six games with a score of 14-13, where the defense is playing out of control, just purely carrying the offense. So realistically, I think Pat Shurmur's back if Vic Fangio's back. And now, sure, there is a path where that's not the case, but most likely if Vic Fangio's back, it's because the team had a lot of success. And if the team had a lot of success, it means that Pat Shurmur probably had a decent amount of success. People don't want to hear it now because the Broncos still have a losing record in the Pat Shurmur era. People don't want to hear Vic being the coach next year because the Broncos still have a losing record with Vic Fangio. But if things finish strong in these next six games, people will be okay with that. And Mace, that'll wrap it up for us today. But one more time, got to give it a shout out to our presenting sponsor, MSU Denver Online. We're over at MSU Denver Online. They put a dynamic education at your fingertips without forcing you to decide between earning a degree and living your life. MSU Denver is the Colorado institution providing rigorous and affordable online programs taught by professors who bring the real world into the classroom. So make sure to check them out where you can get a relevant degree while continuing to live your life. And of course, use that code DNVR Sports to get your application fee waived. But for Andrew Mason, I'm Zach Stevens. Thank you all so much for rolling with us today. Hit us with a like on YouTube before your way out, and we will talk to you tomorrow on the DNVR Broncos podcast.
How long's it been since you and I rolled out the truck and took a country drive? Now understand that you need some time. I time.